Well, we're going to continue on the Gospel of Mark. We're going verse by verse, as we have been. I know it takes me a while to get through a passage of Scripture, but here we are. In Mark chapter 3, verse 6, and what I want to talk to you today is a simple little statement that we'll find in this passage of Scripture, and it says to be with Jesus, just to be with Jesus, okay? Just hang on to that little thought, be with Jesus. And the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. You remember, he healed a man on the Sabbath. He told him, stretch out your hand. And the Pharisees wanted to kill him, right? And it wasn't time for Jesus to be killed. It wasn't that he was scared and running away, okay? It was that it wasn't his time. And so he left the area. But he not only left the area for those reasons, sometimes they needed to recharge. He needed to spend time away. And we're going to find out with Jesus how Jesus recharged in that sense. What did he go to do? But as he went out, it says, he said, but Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and Jerusalem, and Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, and those from Tyre and Sidon. A great multitude, when they heard how many things he was doing, came to him. So though Jesus withdrew from the crowds and from the multitudes came running after him. They came from everywhere. They crowded around him. They came from the north. They came from the south. They came as far as east as there was. The water was not too far away. And then from the west where the desert was. They came from everywhere to see Jesus Christ. Because of the things that he said and the things that he did, there was a great multitude. So he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. So that's how it was getting. It was getting to the point where they were coming and pressing against Jesus. He couldn't do ministry. How can you do that when you're being tramped on, right? When you're just being mobbed. And so this was a mob situation. So Jesus said, we need to get ready. This is practical stuff. We need to kind of get ready here. Get me in a boat. Get me out in the water. At least they can't crush me, right? Because I have ministry to do to these people. And he was ministering to them. For he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. And you can imagine the crowds, desperate for a blessing, looking for a blessing. You can't blame them for that. And he didn't blame them for that. He saw their need, but he also knew that if he was going to be effective, he couldn't, you know, just allow them to tramp all over him. But friends, let me tell you something. Sometimes we have not because we ask not. Sometimes we don't get a blessing because we aren't looking for a blessing in the right place. Sometimes we think we're going to get a blessing from over here, over there, or in a bottle sometimes. Maybe it's in drugs sometimes. Maybe it's in having a relationship. If I got a boyfriend, everything would be fine. If I had a girlfriend, everything would be wonderful. Sometimes we look in the wrong places to think this is what's really going to satisfy the deepest needs of my soul. Let me encourage you in this direction. First, find all that you can about Jesus Christ. First, spend as much time looking for him, seeking him, thronging him, as it were, in looking for him, because you can't crush him now, okay? Come to him continually. Find the deepest satisfaction of your soul in Jesus Christ, and when you find your deep satisfaction there, then you can get wisdom and direction from God to see whatever else God wants to bring into your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the Bible says this. Now listen, everything else will be added to you. Yes, but I want it now. That's what we're like. I am like that quite a few times. I want things to happen now. And if they don't happen now, then I get my dander up. Then I start thinking, oh, God, you're just not, you know, you're not cutting it here, God. God, you're not doing things my way. You're not doing it in my timetable. It's a good thing he doesn't, friends. He knows best. None of you are any good at being God. I'm so glad none of you are God, and I'm glad I'm not either. My goodness, you think the world's a mess now? Try being God for an hour or two. Then see what we got, right? So stop trying to play God, even over your own life. Trust that Jesus knows what he's doing. Come to him. Find your answers in Jesus, even as these crowds and multitudes came. And as he was blessing them, the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, saying, you're the Son of God. Even the devils were acknowledging who Jesus was. They couldn't help it because of who he was, because he was the creator of all things. And even the devil himself has to bow down to Jesus Christ. I hope you understand that. We know we look in the world, we say, well, the devil's very powerful. But let me tell you something, God is more powerful. People are being rescued. People are being transformed. People are being changed. You know, the most prolific work of the gospel that's been happening in the world today is not in North America. It's not where we have all the wealth, health, and prosperity, because where we have wealth, health, and prosperity, we don't need God. We've got all this other stuff. It's in the impoverished places. It's in the broken places. It's in communist China where they tried to stamp God out. That's where people are getting converted more than anywhere else on the planet. Because God is going to raise up a people that are going to praise Him. It's just so often we think we are so self-sufficient and smart and able and everything else that we don't need God in our culture. But boy, do we need Him. And the evidence is in. But even the demons were smart enough to know who Jesus was. But how many are atheists are running around oblivious to the reality of who Jesus is, blinded by these very demons? But Jesus sternly warned them they should not make Him known. Jesus wasn't looking for a publicity. He wasn't looking so that He could see how many crowds He could get. See, well, you know, I got 100,000 people after me now. By next week, I'll have 500,000. Boy, in a couple more weeks, I'll have 1,000,000. I'm going to take the world. It wasn't what He's looking for. As a matter of fact, when the crowds came for looking for Him later on, He actually said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. He didn't come to be Mr. Popularity. He didn't come to be the fad of the day. He came to transform lives one by one. And He's still doing that very thing now. Transforming lives one by one. When we are willing to come to Him and put Him first in our hearts, it is amazing what it is that God can do. And so even while He was ministering to them, He had a focus. And what was His focus? He left the crowd. He left the crowd. Even though there were multitudes still looking for Him, He knew what He had to do. He had to get alone with God. And here it says, He went up on a mountain and called to Him to him those He Himself wanted, and they came to Him. Now, I want you to understand something, because in the Gospel of Luke, we find out what it was that He was doing up on that mountain. Now, it came to pass in those days, because the Gospels are all intertwined, right? It's all one story from four different perspectives, right? And this is what Luke says. Now it came to pass in those days He went out into the mountain to pray. And He continued all night in prayer to God. This was His agenda. It was to meet with the Father. It was to get to know who the Father was. And so when it came, when it was day, He called His disciples to Himself, and from them He chose 12, whom He also named apostles. So before He calls the 12 apostles, what does He do? He spends all night in prayer. You see, there are many people who are thronging Jesus. There are many people who are following Jesus. Disciples are learners or apprentices, okay? But He was going to pick some of them out to do a work with Him. And so He's going to pick 12 of them. This is a pretty important thing, you know? I mean, if you were Jesus and you were going to try to reach the world and you were going to, you know, sit down and be a good strategic person, you'd want to pick the best people for the job. So Jesus spends all night praying, all night with the Father dealing with the matter. Tell me, when you're faced with major decisions in your life, did you ever say, okay, I'm going to spend the night praying about this one? No. Is that what you do? No. Let me encourage you, if we prayed more, really seeking God, we would make a lot better choices most of the time in our lives. But Jesus knew what He had to do. But you know, it's kind of amazing, the crew that He chose. Now, some of these He had already called them to come and follow Him, right? He had already gone down by the shore, we saw that, and called Peter and James and John, the fishermen, remember? He just last week, we called Matthew and said, you know, leave your receipt of custom, come and follow me. He was already calling these people to Himself. But what a motley crew He chooses. I mean, He didn't choose the educated group. He didn't choose the people that were, you know, high up in the religious realm. He didn't choose the theologians of the day. He chose simple people. And I want you to understand something. God is in the business of choosing people like you and me. Don't turn away from him. You know, sometimes we feel, God could never use me. God could never use me. Well, you know, there's a story in the Old Testament. And there was a guy named Balaam, and he had a donkey, which in, you know, the old language, he was called an ass, right? Right? Okay? So Balaam had an ass, and he was on his way to do something that he shouldn't have done. And on the way, he was supposed to be a prophet, but he was a, you know, not prophetic, doing it all wrong. Anyway, he was on his way to get the wrong thing done. And an angel of the Lord stood in his path. He didn't see it, but the ass did. The donkey did. The donkey saw it, and the donkey stopped, and he wouldn't move. And Balaam starts beating him. Why don't you get moving? And finally, God gives a mouth to the ass. He turns around, and he says, haven't I served you all these days? Haven't I treated you right? Balaam goes, yeah. And then suddenly his eyes were open, and he sees what's going on. There's an angel with a sword there, ready to thrust him down. And here's what I always say. If God can speak through an ass, then he can speak through me. Okay? He can speak through you. He can use you. If he can speak through a donkey, then he can speak through you. So, weak as we are, failures that we are, at times we don't have it all together, we don't understand everything, but God can use every single one of us in this room. Because when he called these apostles, yes, he called 12 to himself for a specific task, but he calls everyone to be his servants. He calls all of us to serve him. So the qualifications to follow Jesus Christ is to be willing to respond to him, to understand how weak we are, and to trust him. But here's the best qualification of all, and here's what it says when we go back here. In Mark chapter 3, it says this. He appointed 12, okay? 3:14, they came to him. He went to the mountain, called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Now, I want you to notice, it doesn't say that he called 12 that they might go out to preach. What does it say? I'm sorry? They might be with him. The first priority is to be with Jesus. That's the first one. If you're going to do any service for Jesus, then you need to be with him. If you're not with him, then you're not going to have any service. You see, the biggest qualification that they had was being with Jesus. That was it. That was the one that changes things. That was the one that can turn the world upside down. Now, later on in the book of Acts, look at what it says here. When they saw, after Peter had stood and preached before multitudes, telling them that there was no other name under heaven given among men whereby they must be saved, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, here's this bold Peter standing up and preaching the gospel, and just a short while earlier, he was cowering and denying the Lord. You remember that? Denying the Lord. But the Spirit of God had come to be with him. And so now he's preaching. And when the Pharisees were amazed at this, and now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. The old King James says they were ignorant men. They didn't know anything. They marveled. They were amazed. They were blown away by it. But they realized that they had what? They had been with Jesus. Friends, being with Jesus is what your Christianity is. You take that out of the picture, you could memorize the Bible frontwards and backwards. It wouldn't do you any good. You could be the best orator in the world. You could stand and proclaim things and make sweet words that would cause people to shudder. But it wouldn't do you any good. You need to be with Jesus. I need to be with Jesus. It's the only way that we can live, let alone minister. It's the only way that we can be healed in our hearts. It's the only way that we can walk forward in our lives, is being with Jesus. So the calling of these men with all their faults and all their failures, and even including a traitor in them, was in the wisdom of God. He already knew what he was doing. He knew that he needed to put Judas Iscariot in with the lot. Now understand this, Judas wasn't somebody who went bad later on, because Jesus said in John chapter 6, didn't I choose 12 of you? One of you is a devil. Right from the beginning. Already he had a demon in him. He was already, his mind was in a totally other direction. He was a thief. The Bible tells us that he was stealing the money from the treasury box for himself. So when he went to betray Jesus, it wasn't like, oh, suddenly Judas, who was all for Jesus, suddenly turned away from Jesus and traded for 30 pieces of silver. No, he was already a bad apple in the barrel. But I praise the Lord, and I thank God that God knows what he's doing. And he knows what he's doing in calling us to himself. And we need to respond to him. But we need to understand what he wants us to do. First of all, what he wants you to do is to be with Jesus. That's what he wants. More than anything, friends, he wants you to be with Jesus. And so we see the names of those disciples here. Simon, who gave the name Peter. James, the son of Zebedee. And John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Bojernus, which is the sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him, and they went into a house. These were the ones that he called. But what I want to spend a few moments with you this morning is to encourage you to be with Jesus. Now you might say, well, how am I going to do that? Is he over in Galilee? Can I find him somewhere? You can't dig him up. You can't find the bones because he rose from the dead. So that's not going to help you any. How am I going to be with Jesus? Well, I can take artifacts and maybe I can find a bunch of relics and sleep with the bones of dead people and all that. No, that's not going to make you holy. I need to be with Jesus. How do I get to be with him? You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen, you love. So even though you can't see him, doesn't mean he's not real. Look, there's air all around you. You're breathing it. You can't see it, but it's real, isn't it? Yeah, you take it out of the room, you'll find out how real it is, how desperately you need it. A lot of people say, well, I can't see God, so he can't be real. How ridiculous that is. Most of the things that are in this world, you can't see. Really. It's the truth of the matter. Have you ever seen a molecule? Have you? No. But they're real. And so he says, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, that is by faith, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So there is a place where I can walk with joy with Jesus Christ, even though I don't see him. Get over the fact that you can't see him personally in front of you. Now, maybe someday God will grant you a vision. I know at least once in my life, I had a vision of Jesus Christ. Now, what did he look like? I don't even remember that. It was an amazing experience. But that's not the norm. That's not what's going to happen every time. Maybe once in your life, you might have that kind of a vision. But that doesn't mean, and he spoke to me at that time, but that doesn't mean anything in terms of, in the long haul, I don't see him on a regular basis, okay? But I can see him with eyes of faith. But how is it that we be with Jesus? Well, the way of being with Jesus, I'm going to give you a couple of ways to be with Jesus, okay? The first one is through his word. Now, I'm just going to notice this because remember, after Jesus rose from the dead, he was with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, which we were looking at youth group, just the other right? He was on the road to Emmaus with two guys, and Jesus had risen from the dead, and they were so puzzled, they couldn't figure out what was going on. They knew that Jesus had been crucified. They knew that he had been buried, and they had heard something about him being raised from the dead, but they couldn't make any sense of it. And they were walking away from Jerusalem, which tells us that they were kind of like, if they really believed that he had risen from the dead, do you think they'd be walking over to Emmaus away from Jerusalem? No, they would have been hanging around looking for him, right? But they didn't, they were full of doubt. They didn't understand what's going on here. And they were disciples of Jesus. But it tells us that Jesus came alongside of them. And when he came alongside of them, they couldn't recognize him. And God made it that way. It says their eyes were held, so they couldn't make him out. The reason being that if they had seen Jesus, oh, it's Jesus, wow, oh, well, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they would have hugged him and everything else or whatever they could have done. And they would have been all excited about it. But he wanted to give them a teaching opportunity. And so what he says, he keeps them from seeing who he really is, so they might understand from his word the truth. And so it says, he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. That's the next verse down below. Okay, but this section here, he says that, look, it's all in the word of God. Everything that I have planned, everything that I do is found in the word of God. So, you know, look, supposing you were working for somebody, right? And they gave you a list of things to do. So you got the list. You went out to do them. You put the list in your pocket, and you stood around. All right. So the boss comes along. What are you doing? Well, I'm waiting for you to tell me what to do. Well, I have. No, you haven't. That's why I've been waiting for you to come here and tell me what to do. I gave you a list. Yeah, but I'm waiting for you to tell me what to do. You'd say, well, something wrong there. Yeah, sometimes we hang around, we're looking for this experience, but we're ignoring what's already given to us. If you don't respond to the light that God has already given you, you're not going to get any more light. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're going to go looking for light any place else, first find out what God says in his word. Because his word reveals Jesus Christ. Later on, when they were in the upper room and the disciples, Jesus appeared to the disciples. This is in John 24:44. This is what he said to them. These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. The whole of the Old Testament. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. So he said to them, it is written, it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. He opened the word of God to them. You say, well, why did he open the word of God? Gee, he was standing right in front of them. Wasn't that enough? Let me tell you something. There is no experience you can have here on this planet that is a substitute for opening the word of God and reading what God has already given you. He doesn't have to tell you the truth some other way because you don't like to have it the way he's given it to you. And maybe you're a person that doesn't read that well. Well, I can tell you, I can get you. If you have trouble reading and you need to find out more about the Word of God, we can get it recorded for you. It's recorded. People can speak it into your life. There's all kinds of apps and other things out there to help us with that. We need to be in the Word of God. That is the evidence that we see here. Not only do we need to be in the Word of God, but we need the very presence of God. Now, what has he said about that? Jesus came and spoke to them saying, this is just before he goes back to heaven and he gathers his disciples together. So he's not going to be around physically anymore. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. How long? Even to the end of the age. I'm with you to the end of the age. Okay, so here's the thing. I need to be in the Word of God if I want to be with Jesus. I need to understand that he is very present. If I'm a Christian, then God has come to live in me. Here's what it says in John 14:15. And he comes to live in me forever. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. So what he's actually saying here in the Greek, I'm going to give you a helper just like me, same as I am, okay? And he says that he may abide with you, how long? Forever. The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, will come and live with you forever. Now, even more than that, he says this, whom the world cannot receive, okay? If you're going to choose to follow the world, you can't have the Spirit. But if you accept Christ, then the Spirit comes. Because it is neither sees him nor knows him. The world's blind to the Spirit of God. But you know him, for he dwells with you. Now, how's he dwelling with them? He says he dwells with you. How is the Spirit of truth dwelling with them? That's not what he's saying here. He's not saying in. He's saying with. Words mean something. How's he dwelling with them? Do you think? Who's standing right with them right there when he's talking? What's that? It's Jesus himself. He is dwelling with them, right? You see, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. Do you understand that the Holy Spirit is Jesus? And so he says, yet there's two separate persons, yet they're the same. It's hard for us to figure that out. But he's saying, he's with you right now. I'm with you. But he says, but even more than that, he and will be in you. So Jesus is saying, I'm with you right now. Do you remember how it was? He was standing along the shore and everybody was trying to get to Jesus, right? But they all, do you think they all made it? No, they didn't all make it. Why? Only one person standing in one place. How can everybody get a hold of one guy? I mean, listen, if the only way to get a hold of Jesus right now and to have a close relationship with him was to be with him, which he says this is the whole idea, right? How many people would get to be with him if he was just walking around on this planet? Huh? Not very many. Oh, let's see. I get my turn with 4 billion people on Earth. That's how many. I guess it's going to take me. 5 years' time, I'm going to get an appointment with Jesus for 3 minutes. What good would that be? What kind of Christianity would I have? My whole Christianity is Jesus Christ. And it's Christ with me, but Christ in me. Because now, with the person of the Holy Spirit, Christ is in every believer, always, all the time, forever, I have access. Isn't that great? I don't have to run to the shores of Galilee and see if I can find him. I don't have to go to some place and say, oh, God's more over here than he is over there. No, God is everywhere. But the wonder of it all is that God is in me. I want to be with Jesus? Wow. Here's the thing. He has come to be in you. You can't get more intimate than that. You can't be more closer than that. But of course, even if he is in me, I still need to be willing to talk to him. To pray to him, to be aware of this reality. Because here's what he says. He says he dwells with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now, he was just about to be crucified. And he was assuring them, saying, look, don't worry. I got it under control. You think I'm gone here, but I ain't gone. No way. I'm going to be in you. I'm not going to leave you an orphan. I'm not going to forsake you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live, you will live also. He says, the world won't see it because I'm not going to be here. I'm going back to heaven. The body of Jesus Christ is in heaven now. But the Spirit of God is in this world and he's in the whole world convicting people of sin, righteousness, and judgment, but he's come to live in the believer. And as he lives in us, he says, because I live, you will live also. My resurrection power, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. The Word of God says you've been risen with Christ. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you've risen to a whole new life with Christ. Christ is in you. You're in Christ. What a union it is. At that day, you'll know that I'm in my Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. Wow. He says, at that day, you're going to understand something. I'm in the Father's in me, and you're in me, and I'm in you. It's, what oneness he gives to us. To be with Jesus. Can I encourage you then to find yourself being with Jesus? And as we can see, even though Jesus was with the Father, wasn't he? He was in the Father. The Father was in him. You see that in John chapter 17 as he prays, I and me and you and me. This is what he says, right? It didn't negate prayer. It didn't mean that he shouldn't be spending quality time in the presence of the Father. So let me encourage you. Wake up to God's call in your life. to be with Jesus Christ. Open the Word of God on a regular basis. Seek what the Word of God has to say. Pray to the Lord. Say, Lord, open this Word to me. Give me understanding of it, oh God. Be aware of the very presence of God. Yeah, but I don't feel like He's here. Well, look, supposing I'm standing right next to Ryland here, and he says, I don't feel like Pierre is here. But am I here? Am I here? Yeah. You know, sometimes we say, well, I don't feel like something is true. Do not live by your feelings. Go by the facts. Feelings won't get you in the right place, you know. I mean, suppose I was in an airplane and I said, I feel like I can fly today. Whoosh, open the door. Woo, I feel like I can. Woo, bang, splat, I'm gone, right? Because I forgot a few facts. One of the facts is I can't fly. Right? Not for long. If you want to call that flying. The facts override the feelings, friends. The truth is, if you're a Christian, Christ has come to dwell in you. And we've already saw that Jesus said He's going to dwell in you for forever. Didn't that what He said? Forever? I will not leave you orphans. Is that what He said here? And what did we find out in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, he said, Lo, I'm with you always, 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 even to the end of the age. Another verse in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, I will never leave you or forsake you. Nobody can take you out of my hand. Friends, be with Jesus. Make it the focus of your heart. Because I'll tell you something right now as I close here. It's the focus of His heart to be with you. Did you get that? It's His passion to be with you. How do I know that? Because He left heaven to come here and be among us and be crucified. Because even after all of that, even after they put Jesus Christ to death and He goes back to sit at the right hand of the throne, the Spirit of God says, I'm willing to come and live inside of you. It was tough enough being with you, but now I'm going to live in you. Imagine. And yet He commits Himself to you with all your things that nobody else knows but you and God. He still says, I'm committed. I'm committed to being in you for the rest of your days. Isn't that awesome? So has God come a long way to be with you? Has God come a long way to be in you? And you don't have to go very far to enjoy that and to reciprocate in the relationship. Be with Jesus. Yes, we know the disciples were physically with Jesus, and that is how they got their training. They didn't go to some Bible school somewhere. They got their training by being with Jesus. Let me encourage you, be with Jesus, and out of the result of being with Jesus, as you pray, as you read, as you spend time in His presence, as you understand, your eyes are open to see who you are and where you are, God will effectively use you to reach out into a broken world. Because Jesus in the boat, all by Himself, was only going to touch so many people. But now what does He do? He begins to multiply the ministry, right? It's not just Him now. It's others doing the ministry and going to the other towns and the villages. He calls 12. Later on, He calls 70 to do the same. And then He calls all of us to be His servants and to go out there and do it. Here's the thing. Just take me. Am I going to reach everybody around here? No way, friends. If you don't reach people, it's not going to happen. I can be used of God. Maybe you can bring them to church and they'll hear me preach. But you go out in the trenches. First be with Jesus, okay? If you're not going to be with Jesus, shut your mouth. Because you're only going to make a mess of things. You're going to misrepresent God because it's going to be you trying to do stuff and it's going to be a rotten mess. I can assure you that. Spend time with Jesus, and as you're allowing Jesus to work in you, start sharing, start reaching out, loving people. Tell what you know. Yeah, well, I don't know very much. You know a lot more than somebody who's never met Jesus. You can share what you know. Maybe a little bit, but it's something. I'm not telling you to shut your mouth. Don't take me seriously on that. Tell what you know. But be gracious and kind and loving. And you see, when you're going to spend time with Jesus, His character is going to rub off. His love, His peace, His joy is going to come out. And actually, you'll find people coming to you and saying, what makes you tick anyway? What's happened to you? Something is changing your life. and you'll give an answer for the hope that you have within you. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that we could be together today, Lord. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, of opening the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that we can pray to you. And thank you, Lord, for your Spirit's presence here. Because not only have you promised to be in us, but then you've said, if two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. Hallelujah. Lord, we can't reach out and touch you, but you're right here. And we give you the glory for it. And we thank you that we can be with Jesus. Amen.